Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Nedarim Nunvav. We are holding on the top of the Amud, right at the Mishnah, Hanoider Min HaBayis. A fellow says, I am making a neder to abstain from this bayis. I will not walk into this bayis. Bayis can mean a house, an apartment, a room. Mutar ba'aliyo. So what's included in bayis? Only the ground floor, but not the upper floor, not the second floor. That's a separate entity, not included in the word bayis. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Bayis is one, aliyah is something else. The Chachamim Aimrim, they maintain, no, aliyah b'chlal bayis. Aliyah, the second floor, is included in the term bayis. It's resting on the bayis. It's one and the same entity. Aliyah is b'chlal habayis. And therefore, when he makes a neder against the bayis, it includes the upper floor as well. But all agree, hanoider min aliyah, if he makes a neder against the upper floor, that is specific to the upper floor. And therefore, mutar b'bayis, it doesn't include the ground floor. So when you say bayis, it's all-encompassing, perhaps, according to the Chachamim. But certainly when you say aliyah, which is the upper floor, that doesn't include the bayis, the ground floor. Asks the Gemara, Mantana, who's the author of the following brisa? A brisa pertaining to dinim of nega, a nega found in a home which is mitame the home. The pasuk says, you find a nega, the base, eretz achuzazchem, in a home which is found in your land of inheritance in Eretz Israel. The word bebeis here is extra, and therefore we make a drasha. Bebeis l'rabois, es, and the Ran and the Hagos Agroa change it to es hatzavua, a painted room that can also accommodate a nega, as opposed to nega begodim, a nega found in a garment, where it has to be pure in its natural state, in its original color, unpainted, undyed. But by a nega found in a home, there is no such dictation. So b'bayis is l'rabbis es hatzavua. What else is included in the word bayis? B'bayis l'rabbis es ha'aliyah. So not only if you found a nega in a ground floor, does it make tumah? Even if it's found on an upper floor, it has the same status as well. Now why would you need an extra pasuk, an extra word, to include an upper floor? Isn't an aliyah automatically included in bayis? So who's speaking? Amar Rav Chizda. Apparently, this is Rabbi Meir, who considers bayis and aliyah as two separate entities, and therefore we need a special pasuk to include the aliyah by nega. Because if it were the Rabbanan, it's automatically included. It's one and the same structure, one and the same entity, the Rabbanan, because according to the Rabbanan, haven't they already told us, Ha'amri, Rabbanan aliyah is b'chlal habayis. And if so, lama likra, bebayis l'ribuya, why would you need a pasuk l'bayis to be merabah, to include the second floor? Bebayis eretz achusaschem automatically includes the upper floors as well, because as we see by Nedarim, aliyah is included, is nichlal in bayis. So this brisa, which requires a special pasuk for nega by aliyah, is Rav Meir speaking, who considers aliyah a separate entity from the bayis. Abaya amafilut him rabbonon bayakra. You know what? Even the rabbonon would require a special pasuk to include a nega found in an aliyah. You know why? Perhaps negaim are different than nedarim. The salkadai dechamina. There's room to think, since the pasuk says bebeis eretz achuzaschem ksiv. The nega has to be found in a home which is flush to the ground, which is attached to the actual ground. So perhaps only the ground floor constitutes the mechaber ba'arosh mebayis. Only the actual ground floor, which is situated on the soil, that's called the bayis with respect to negoim aliyah. But the upper floor, which is removed, halei mechaber ba'ara, which is detached from the eretz, perhaps would not have that din. It's like a house on stilts which doesn't have negoim. Right? So here, perhaps, it would have that same din. It's not Eretz Achuzaschem. Therefore, you need a pasuk, an extra word. The Beis Eretz Achuzaschem to include even an Aliyah. And the reason is because it's not sitting on stilts, hovering above the ground. It's actually positioned atop the ground floor. It's supported by the ground floor. It's as though it's sitting on the ground itself. Says the Gemara. Now let's shift over to Dinei Mamonos, to Choshen Mishpat, to commerce. Kiman Azla Hada Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Mishmedu Ulo. We learn a halacha in the name of Ulo. And whose shita is reflected in this halacha? Is it Rav Meir or the Rabbanon? What is the halacha? Reuben tells Shimon, I'm selling you a bias. I have many homes. Bias bebeisi ani moicher lach. I'm going to sell you one of my homes. Mareyu aliyah. Since he elaborated the home within my homes, this allows him to even sell him something which is inferior, an upper floor, which is more burdensome, which isn't as valuable. Right? Isn't as convenient. Because Bayis or Beisi allows him to do that. Some home amongst my homes. Says the Gemara. Ta'ma da'am li Bayis or Beisi ani mechalach. This ability to give him something inferior, to give him an aliyah, is strictly because he phrased his deal in this way, Bayis or Beisi. So that includes even an upper floor. Aval Bayis stam, but suppose he only says, I'm selling you bias. Stop. Just the word bias would not allow him to offer him an upper floor. Bias is ground floor. Who's speaking? Perhaps this is only Rabbi Meir speaking, who considers bias separate from aliyah. So if you say bias rabbeisi, okay, you include even the aliyah, but otherwise it's just bias. Whereas according to Rabbanan, even bias can include an aliyah. Answers the Gemara, no, filo tamer rabbanon, this halacha can follow the rabbanon as well. You're mistaken. When Rav Huna Bar Chiya told us that when you say bias Rav Beisi, that allows you to show him the aliyah, to offer him the second floor. Aliyah never meant the second floor, to the detriment of the buyer. No, just the opposite. It's to the detriment of the seller. My aliyah. You know what aliyah means? Just the opposite. The best quality. Me'ula shebebatim. The best quality home that he has. Bayis shebebeisi. Oh, it's going to be the top, the best. The best pick, the best choice of all my properties. So we just turn the tables around. It's not aliyah to the detriment of the buyer. Aliyah means m'ula, the best, the biggest and the best. So this lashon obligates the seller to offer him the best. We're not speaking about second floors here. And therefore, it's unrelated to our discussion. So in summation, what does bias mean? When it comes to nedarim, Chachamim say, bias and aliyah are the same thing. When you say bias, it's everything, including the upper floors. Rabbi Meir maintains it does not include second floor and up. When you say aliyah, certainly that's a specific lashon referring to the upper floor but not to the bias itself. When it comes to negoim, all agree a nega found in an upper floor is metame, whether it's because of the pasuk bebayis, or even according to Rabbanon, we say we need the pasuk because bebayis eretz achuzaschem would indicate dafka something firmly attached to the ground. So all shittos, perhaps we need to make use of this pasuk bebayis, the extra pasuk to be merabah the aliyah, when it comes to buying and selling. Well, according to the Chachamim, when you say, I'm selling you a bias, it can theoretically include the aliyah. Go give him an aliyah instead of a ground floor. And according to Rabbi Meir, it would only work if he said, bias shebe beis. That extra lashon allows him, would allow him to offer him the lower quality, second floor, as his property of sale. Okay, let's move on to beds. Says the Mishnah, neither min amita. He makes another from a mita. No bed for me. Mutar bedargish. Divrei Rav Meir. So once again, Rav Meir differentiates between the standard, typical bed, which you sleep on, and a dargish, which the Gemara will explain to mean some sort of portable bed, not really meant for sleeping, perhaps, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So when you say mita, you mean an actual bed, but not the dargash. Divrei Rav Meir. V'chachamim. I mean, once again, they say no differentiations. Dargash b'chal mita. When you say mita is aser, you included even the dargash. But all agree. Hanayde men dargash. If he says, I'm abstaining from dargash. Dargash is secondary to mita, and therefore, it will not include the mita, mutar b'mita. My dargash. What is this unique bed called dargash? Umar Ula. You know what it is? Listen to this. Arsa, a bed, the gada. Gada refers to mazel. Like a mazel tov. So you have a bed, sort of a piece of furniture, which isn't really used for personal uses, sleeping or anything. It just sits there to serve as a home base, so to speak, for the sar of mazel. In fact, the Rosh here says that the sar of wealth, the malach who's sort of in charge of wealth, he likes cleanliness, he likes things to be organized, or things that are disorganized, disheveled or dirty. Chas v'shalom, that can bring in the sar of poverty, which the Gemara in Chulin says is called novel. He likes dirt. That's why it's important to always keep clean and neat and organized. And that invites the sar, the minister of cleanliness, of wealth. So you have this bed sitting there, nicely kept, nicely set up, that serves as a host to sort of invite in the sar of wealth. So they had this arsa de gada, this bed of mazel. And it wasn't really, slept on, and therefore, perhaps it's a different entity. It's classified differently than your standard mita, and therefore a mayor says, you make a nether against mita, it does not include the arsa, the gad. Amrli Rabbanan Ula. Rabbanan challenged Ula and his definition. Hodesnan. What about the Mishnah? Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which speaks about a king who had just experienced the passing of a close relative, and the minhag, the halacha was that friends and relatives would offer him that first meal called a su'udas havra'a. Typically the avil would sit on the floor and they would serve him. Kishen mavern oisai. So we have a Mishnah Sanhedrin, the snan kishen mavern oisai, when the folks would provide the king with his su'udas havra'a, kola om mesuban al aretz. So everybody's sitting on the aretz. Typically, by an ordinary citizen, they sit normally, and his sits on the floor. But because he's a king, because of the melech, they give him more kavod, and they don't require that he sits on the floor. Just the opposite. Everybody sits on the floor. V'hu meisav al ha'dargash, and they sit him on this semi-bed. You don't sit on a regular bed, he's an oval, but somewhere in the middle, not on the floor, not on the bed. This dargash is just a perfect medium. Question. Kulo shata. Throughout the rest of the year, nobody sits on this bed. It's meant for the sarath, the mazel. Lo yosevelo. King wouldn't sit on this bed. It's not meant for sitting. So according to you, it's arsa de gado. Alright, dagash is meant for the malach, for the mazel. Hahu yoima yosevelo. Exactly. Just this day. Suddenly we use this bed for sitting? Why would you do such a thing? It's not meant for sitting. Maskev Ravina asks Ravina, we do many interesting things on the Deva Velas, unusual, uncommon things. And perhaps this is just one more thing that we do, which you're right, is unusual. Just like the meal of meat and wine which we serve him. The kulo shata throughout the year. It's up to him. If he wants, he eats. If he doesn't, nobody forces him to eat. And on this day, we compel him to take part in the meal, to relieve his anxiety, etc. We serve him. So what's the big deal that we do things unusually? It's not a regular day. So perhaps, again, the Dargish is the Arsa de Gada, but we use it just for the time being. So that wouldn't be a Kashan Ula. Elo Kasha. Rather, this is going to be a good Kashan Ula, the Sanya. We have a Bryce. There's a din that an Avel, we don't do it today, but the time of the Chazal, an Avel would overturn all the beds, his bed, and everything else in the home. And the Gemara in Meit Katan explains the reasons as follows. Hashem tells us, look, you know, I implanted my image within you. And Rashi there says, B'tzela malakim asa asa adam, right? You all carry my image. U'bavon yisehem hafachtia. Because of their avirus, I've overturned, I've transformed that image from life to death. Right? When somebody passes away, Hashem's image has sort of been perverted. And therefore, turn over the beds. Beds are catalysts for doyres, for children. So turn it over. That's called kfiya samita. So the Baisa says, Dargash, this Dargash bed, loyhoye kafeo, this piece of furniture was not overturned. Elozoik fedu, just leave it as is. No need to overturn it. It's not a regular bed meant for sleeping. Asks the Gemara, vi amris arsa de gado, if this Dargash furniture is really a bed, as you proposed. Vatanya, we have a brisa. You meant to turn over all beds. By the way, the reason why we don't do it today, Tesis in Meit Katan explains, our beds, even when they're overturned, they can still be used. It's not really, so apparent that you're overturning, not really accomplishing much. Number two, he says, the Goyim would suspect that we're engaged in witchcraft and trying to harm them by, you know, doing all these funny things, so we abstain from doing this minhag. In any case, when they would still do kfiya samita, the Braisa says, it's all-encompassing. Ha-kaifas mitasai. When the Oval overturns his bed, it's not only his bed. Lo-y mitasai b'l-vadu kaifas. Not only his own bed. Elo kol mitas, she-eshle, b'sech ha-bayisu kaifas. He overturns all the beds in the home. If that's so, then this Dargash should be overturned as well. And why does the Braisa say it's exempt from kfiya samita? There's a kasha on you, Ula. That Dargash is a reference to a certain type of bed. Why not turn it upside down? Halal kasha, that wouldn't be a kasha. Answer is very simple. It's not a bed on which you sleep on. And only those require kfiya samita. Midi dahava mita michadas lekelim. Right? It's like a bed, which is meant for a placement of kelim, to serve as a platform for dishes, etc. It's not a personal bed. The Sanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Im Hoysa, Mitam Yuchedas Le Kalim Ein Tzarech Le Kfaisa. Very simple. A bed for Kalim is not included in the din of Kviya Samita. So, of course, the Dargash is exempt, even though it's some sort of bed. It's not a personal bed. That's a simple teretz. Ela Yikashya Hakashya. Rather, the following would present a difficulty on Ula's explanation. The Sanya, we have a Bryce. Tanakama said, a Dargish is not overturned by Avelos, correct? But there's a Machlekes. Rabbon, Shimon, Bingamli, Leimer. Even by the Dargish, you can't just let it be. You have to do some sort of move to disrupt it, to disable it. So it's not such a chosh of a bed. Okay, I understand. Do a little rearrangement. Don't overturn it, but Dargash, what do you do? Mater karbita view, undo its laces. So basically, the Dargash was a bed with a sort of mattress, which was laced, which was tied onto the frame. So you undo the laces, and you have the mattress just collapse. It's sort of a compromise. You don't overturn the bed, but you do some sort of disabling move. Now, problem is, V'Dargash Arsa Degadahu. According to you, Ula, Dargash, this furniture is a mazel bed. It doesn't have straps. It's not designed in this manner. Karbitin Miyisle? Since when does it have straps? Which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is alluding to. There are no straps in this Arsa Degadah. And we'll leave it as a kasha. So again, according to Ula, Dargash represents this mazel bed. We understand why you wouldn't have to overturn it in a time of Avelus, because it's not meant for personal use. But we had a kasha in terms of its design, which is inconsistent with Rabban Shimon Gamliel's description. Okay, let's move on. Here's another opinion in terms of the design and use of this Dargash piece of furniture. Yosef Rabin. When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he relayed as follows. Shailte, I once asked Laum Rabbanon, this Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, V'Rav Tachlifa Bama Rabbi Shimei, that was his name. He was an expert in leather and tanning. Davashriach b'shuka. He would frequent the market, the tzali, the marketplace of the tanners. He was an expert in leather and tannering. V'amarli, and he explained to me exactly what dargash is. It has to do with leather. My dargash, what is dargash? Ars a bed d'tzala. A leather bed, meaning it had a solid frame with a leather sort of mattress, leather sheet as a mattress. Some sort of portable, you know, foldable makeshift bed. It wasn't a sturdy, solid piece of furniture. It was some sort of flimsy bed. Oh. And now we'll understand, first of all, why, in terms of nedarim, when you make a nedar against a mita, that's a solid, sturdy piece of furniture. It doesn't necessarily, at least according to Rameh, doesn't necessarily include dargash, which isn't so chashev, which isn't so isn't so sturdy and solid. It's sort of like a mobile, a folding, temporary bed. So it's not included in the nether, according to Rameh. And likewise, when it comes to kfiya samita of an ovel, we can very well understand why, according to Tanakama, there's no need to kfiya samita, because it's not choshev enough. It's not considered a proper bed. You leave it alone. Whereas, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you do like a sort of semi-disablement of that bed. You just undo these straps and have the leather drop down. There's another pshat in the Ran. This is the Mefarsh. The Ran explains that according to Tanakama, the reason why we don't do kfiya samita is because it's going to get ruined. It's made of leather. You're going to overturn it. You're going to have the leather sit on the moist ground. It'll get damaged. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, just undo the straps and have the leather just plop down on the floor, so the face will be facing upward, not facing the floor. And therefore, damage will be minimal. Okay, itma we have learned as follows. Ezehu mita, how is a mita designed? Ezehu dargash, how is a dargash designed? What's the difference between the two? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, mita mesarganois al gaba. How do we design a bed? How do you rope the bed? So they had a frame, they had the ropes running across the frame, and that supported the mattress, which was positioned upon those ropes. So the roping would go over, the tops of the frame, and that would support the mattress. As opposed to the dargash, it wasn't as sturdy, it wasn't as solidly designed and constructed. So here they would rope it from within the rim of the frame, so it was internal, it was inverted. So let's say this would be the frame of a bed. So the ordinary bed would have the ropes running across the top, pretty much cover the frame, whereas by the dargash the ropes would be inverted, would be running, inside the actual frame from side to side. apparently not as sturdy and properly supported as a regular mitzvah. Meisa, you have a kasha on this. You're telling me that by an ordinary mitzvah, the ropes sort of cover the frame, they run over the top of the frame. Clay eitz, wooden utensils, when are they considered a finished product and susceptible to tumah? Meimasai mekablin tumah, hamitah varisa, bed or crib, mishiyash shufeim, when they are smoothed down, sanded down with sandpaper, bar hadag, fish skin, which was used as sandpaper, perhaps because it has those, the scales which make it coarse. So that's what they would use to sand down, the wooden bed frame. Now, v'imita mistaregas al gaba. If a bed is typically roped from the outside, so the wooden frame was pretty much covered by rope, why would you have to sand it down? Why bother? It's not exposed. It's not presenting any danger. Why would you care if it's rough or smooth? Lomali shivas er hadag. Why would you sand it down with the er hadag? Elo says the Gemara, you're right. Havah migufan. Both a mitzah and a dargish, a rope from within, leaving the frame exposed. So what is the difference between the mitzah and the sarg and the dargish? There is a slight difference. A mitzah was still more sturdy than the dargish. Mitzah by a ordinary bed, auli va'afuki bebezini. So within that frame, within the inside of the frame, you would have these holes. So that would allow the rope to go in and out of the ropes, and that was a more sturdy arrangement. Dargish, as opposed to this, makeshift bed, auli va'afuki ba'avaksa. They didn't have actual holes in the frame, which would really grab hold of the ropes. Rather, there were these loops affixed to the inside of the frame through which they would tie the straps coming from the leather mattress, so to speak. So it wasn't as strong and sturdy. Amar v'yakab r'acham rabbi. Mita shenakli teho yitzin. Suppose you have a bed with a canopy. So a flat bed, and you have these poles coming out on either end of the bed, upon which they would position a pole, upon which they would hang the canopy. So here you can't really turn over the bed, you would damage those poles that would protrude upwards from the bed. What do we do? Zaykfa, you just turn the bed upright, disable it, without overturning it. V'dayo, and that's enough. Okay, now back to our original Shaila, what's with the dargish in the time of Avelus? Tanakama told us, let it put. And Rabbi Shimon says, you have to disable it somewhat. How do we paskin? Om Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idi, Om Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halacha, K'rab and Shimon Gamliel, that even a dargish must be tended to somewhat, at least collapse the mattress, the leather, and disable it in that fashion. Continues the Mishnah, what about a nether against entering a city? What does that include? Hanoyder Minayir makes a nether from a city. Muta Lekonis L'tchumah Shalir. He can enter the tchum, meaning the 2,000 amma swath of land surrounding the city. That's considered out of the city. V'asa lekonos li'ibur, but he cannot enter the municipal extension of the city. Ibur is like an issue with a pregnant. So it's the extension of the city. It's about 70 amis, which was considered the municipal boundary, like a service area of the city. So although it's actually out of the walls of the city or the boundary of the city itself, but it's still considered part and parcel of the city entity. But when a person makes a nether against entering a home, Osur mena aga filifnim. Here it's different. The only part of the bias that he may not enter is the actual living space. So agaf is where the door slams or the door rests. You have a large, door frame, the door post in the top and the bottom. It can be very wide. But where that door closes, that's called the agaf. And once you're outside that spot, from that point outward, it is no longer considered bias territory. Even though you're still under the door frame, but you're outside where the door would close, that is no longer considered a living space of the bias and not included in a nether when the nether is directed against the bias. So even if you have a wide doorpost and the door shuts and ends right here. So the part within the door would be Asr, but the part outside the door would be Mutar. Minolan says, the Gemara, how do we know this? How do we know what? Dibura de Mosra ke Masadamia. The Mokim Ibur of the city, 70 Amma and change outside the city, is considered part of the city. Omra Yechanan, Dom Akro, the Pasuk says, Vahibi Yais Yeshua be Yericho. Famous story, Yeshua, when he was in Yericho, he was confronted by the Malach, who threatened him and admonished him for being less than 100% careful in terms of Bittul Torah, even during wartime. Question, might be Yericho. What do we mean Yeshua was in Yericho? Elam of Yericho Mamish, he was actually inside the city. Yericho at that point was under siege. He couldn't have been inside the city. Apparently, when we say Yericho, we mean Beibura. Right on the outskirts, within the Ibur Shalir, 70 and 2/3 Amma outside the city. Asks the Gemara, Ema afilu betchuma. Well, perhaps even within 2000 would be considered part of the city. Answers the Gemara, you can't say that. Hoksib betchuma, when the Torah describes the Shabbos boundary outside the city, 2000 Amma, area outside the city, how does the Pasuk refer to it? As something beyond the city. This is the pasuk by the Orei Halevim. The tchum outside the city meant for fields and orchards. Mechutzleir. Apparently tchum is beyond the city. And that's how we get our halacha, our distinction between Ibor, which is still within the city, and tchum, which is considered outside. Hanoidem and Abayis, Enei Osir, Elam and Agav Lifnim. So where the door hits, beyond that point, it's considered outside the bayis. Aval mina agaf al chutzle, but outside the agaf is no longer bayis. Masav Rav Mori have a kasha. Again, by negoyim pertaining to whom, the pasuk says, well, the kohen comes to take a look, examines the nega, and then he quarantines the home. V'yotza kohen mina bayis. The kohen is meant to leave the home, and be mazgir, close up the home for a week. After which he comes back to check again. Pasuk says he must leave the home. Yochel yelech lebeisay. Perhaps he can go home around the corner. V'yazger and do the hesger from there. Remote control hesger. The Ran says he'll do it with a long rope. Is that okay? No. Tamlem el pesach habayis. He must be right outside the door of that home when you do hesger. El pesach habayis. Well, if that's the case, yochel yamid tachas amashke v'yazger. Perhaps he can stand below the, in the door frame. Tamalo min habayis? No, he has to leave the home entirely. Achi yetzi min habayis? Kulay. So he can't be too far or too close. Okay, Tad, how do you work this out? Very simple. Oymed betzad hamashke v'yasker. Leave the house entirely. Don't go too far, but be outside the doorway. If he happened to go home and do the hesker from there, he was far away and did it from there anyways. Or he stood beneath, inside the door frame, and did hesker. So, but the evid, does it work? Yes. It's a ribu, you become malkim. In all situations it works. Bottom line is, ideally, he's meant to be outside the home, but right outside the home. What constitutes outside the bayis? Bryce says, outside the mashkev. It's not enough to be standing outside the agaf, where the door slams. You have to be beyond the mashkev, outside the doorway. And here we say, as long as you're outside the agaf, that's enough. Answers the Gemara, Shani. Gaba bayis hamanuga. Bayis hamanuga is different. The chsev gaba pasuk mina bayis, that the kohen must leave the bayis. The extra pasuk is telling us, achiyetze mina bayis kuloi. You must leave the house entirely, be totally outside the home, beyond the doorway. But when it comes to Nedarim, which is based on Lashon Bnei Adam, once you're outside the living area, you're shut out of the house, you are Yetzir, you're Neder. Okay, let's do a quick Chazara. What does Bayis mean? Does it include the Aliyah? According to Chachamim, yes. According to Rav Meir, no. How far does the bias go? Until the agaf. What if he says aliyah? All agree bias is not included. When it comes to negoim, just as a bias is matami, a nega and aliyah is matami as well, we have a pasuk for that. When a person makes a neder against a mita, Rabbeinu says it does not include dargish, which can either mean the mazal bed or this leather makeshift bed. According to Chachamim, it includes dargish as well. When you make a neder against dargish, all agree that's a secondary type of thing. It does not include the primary bed, which is mutter. A neder against going into a city includes the ibur, but does not include the tchum, which we learn from the pasuk by Yerichai and the pasuk by the Arei Halavim. Maybe you all have much hatzlacha, and here only besura is tefes.